Okay, so in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to tell you what I've been recently working on together with Professor Giuseppe Bertin, Dr. Marco Lombardi, and Dr. Piero Rosati at the Physics Department of the University of Milan and at the European Southern Observatory in Garching. The two main topics of this talk are first to show you a new discovery example of a 12-image gravitational system, and then to show our strong lensing model. As the title says, the lens is a massive galaxy cluster, is a massive galaxy of the cluster CLJ-0152. This is one of the richest and most X-ray luminous cluster known so far, which has apparent substructure. And in the past years, it was observed in several wavelengths from the radio to the X-ray region. And in particular, the galaxy population of this cluster was accurately studied. And we have total mass measurements from the X-ray emission of the intracluster gas and from weak lensing. As a curiosity, this is one of the few examples where temperature of the gas could be estimated from the relativistic distortion of the Sunyer-Zeldovich effect. This is a deep image of the cluster created using the 3RI and Z band of the advanced camera for surveys on board the Hubble Space Telescope. And you can see the galaxies of the cluster that are the big yellow objects concentrated mainly around two luminosity peaks, one in the north and one in the south of the cluster. And if we look more closely at the region close to the northern clump, we can find several strong lensing features in the form of multiple images or strongly distorted arcs. And if we zoom in a small square around one of the brightest galaxy of the cluster, we can see these strong lensing systems, which has 12 images, 9 of which are clearly visible, close to A, C, and D, and 3 of them are merged and B. Well, in the cosmological concordance model, 1 arc seconds at the lens plane correspond to a linear size of 7.57 kiloparsec, and the distance between the northern clamp and the galaxy, which shows the strong lensing system, is about 488 kiloparsec, while this square is about 4 by 4 arc seconds, so 7.57 by 4 square. I want you to notice that this system is about 30 degrees northeast with respect to the two main galaxies of the northern clamp. Yeah, degrees. I mean, the inclination of if we take two axes, the inclination of this system is about 30 degrees. Yeah. So these are the coordinates of the galaxy and its photometric properties. The galaxy is such a small value for the ellipticity that it can be considered nearly round. And in this table, we have summarized the distances with respect to the galaxy center of the four centroids of A, B, C, and D. And we see that the main distance of these objects is greater than 1 arc second. These images are really faint, as you can see from the last column of this table, and a redshift of these images is not available yet. So at first, we consider a point-like source, and we try to build a model who could be reconstruct images angularly close to the one observed. And so we studied different models, and in particular we studied a single isothermal sphere, single isothermal ellipsoid, and single isothermal sphere with external shear. In this table we have the results of the chi-square minimization, and we have the Einstein angle for the various systems, the position of the lens center, the ellipticity or the shear, and the position angle of the ellipticity or the shear, the chi-square, and the degrees of freedom. We used, and we studied a single isothermal sphere just to have an idea of the approximate Einstein angle, as we know that a single isothermal sphere can reproduce the correct number of images. We studied a single isothermal ellipsoid, and we could find a low value of the chi-square, but the high value of the ellipticity of this model compared to the small value of the ellipticity of the lens suggested that this model is inaccurate. So the best model we found is the single isothermal sphere with external shear, and we could find chi-square of about 1.29 with 1 degree of freedom. It's interesting to remark that the position angle of the ellipticity or of the external shear are close to 30 degrees and do not differ by more than 2 degrees. So this is a plot of the best model we found, and on the top right, in the top left, you can see the source plane with the caustics, the predicted position of the source reconstructed by the model, and these arrows show the direction of the northern clamp, the position angle of the shear, the position angle of the small ellipticity of the lens, and the position angle of the southern clamp. As you can see, the position angle of the northern clamp is close to the position angle of the external shear, so the shear points towards the main mass peak close to the galaxy that is doing lensing. Here you have the image plane with the critical lines, and crosses represent the reconstructed image position, while the squares are the observed image position. Here we have the Fermat potential. It's stationary points, and you can see that the two images A and C are two minima of this function, while B and D are two settled points. And this is the predicted level of distortion of a circular source, which is centered on the reconstructed position of the model. What we did then is to consider a three-component source and try to find all the 12 images that the system shows. And so we again studied the single isothermal ellipsoid and single isothermal sphere with external shear models. And what we found is again that the best model is the single isothermal sphere with external shear. Here we have again the source plane, the image plane with critical lines and caustics, and triangles, crosses, and diamonds shows the reconstructed position for the source and for the images compared to the squares that are the observed images. It's interesting to remark that this model is valuable in describing the properties of the lens with just three parameters, but it cannot reproduce very accurately the complex image configuration of this system. At the moment, we are working at the extended image reconstruction of the system, and preliminary results seem to show a better agreement between the observed image and the reconstructed image. But the model details does not differ much. I mean, the model parameters are only slightly affected by this improvement. Then we estimated the uncertainties for the model parameters through Monte Carlo simulations. We built 100 data sets with position for the images extracted from normal distribution centered in the measured position of the images, and with sigma, which is equal to the position uncertainty of the images. Here you can see the density distribution for the three parameters that are the Einstein angle, the shear, and the position angle of the shear, with their approximate normal distribution, and here you have the joint distribution for the parameters. We found correlations between two of these parameters that are the Einstein angle and external shear, and its meaning will be clear in two slides. The small uncertainties on this parameter show that the strong lensing model is accurate and robust. So the next step was to use the lensing and the spectroscopic information on the galaxy. So it has to find an allowed range, the range for the source redshift, and then to measure the projected mass inside the Einstein radius. So we assumed a single isothermal sphere, and we know that Einstein radius, the Einstein angle for a single isothermal sphere, is explicitly given by this expression, where sigma v is the velocity dispersion of the lens, c is the light speed, and dls and dos are the angular diameter distances between the lens and the source, and the observer and the source respectively. So what we did was to measure the Einstein angle, and then to plot the velocity dispersion of the lens as a function of the source redshift, which was unknown, and compare this value with a spectroscopic measurement made by Jorgensen and collaborators. Then we said that if the model we use is a single isothermal sphere, the two measurements of the central velocity dispersion of the stars and the velocity dispersion of the lens should be in agreement. And these two values agree at the 95% confidence level if the redshift of the source is greater than 3, and at a 99% confidence level if the redshift of the source is greater than 2.4. So we could measure the projected mass inside the Einstein radius of about 954 kiloparsec as a function of the source redshift. And the two ranges previously found gave us an upper limit for this mass, while a lower limit for the mass is implicitly given by the lensing system. We could conclude then that the projected mass inside the 9.54 kiloparsec lies between 4 and 6 by 10 to 11 solar masses. Then we try to see how the large-scale structure mass distribution of the cluster could influence this lensing system. And so we suppose that the shear we measured before is responsible and can represent the large-scale mass distribution of the cluster. So what we did was to build a new strong lensing model in terms of two singular isothermal spheres, one center in the galaxy and one center in the nearer peak of the cluster. And so we found that the two Einstein radii for the cluster and for the galaxy were 19.6 arcseconds and 1.07 arcseconds. We could then reconstruct the mass projected in the old Einstein radius of 9.54, and now the sum, the mass inside this radius is the sum of two contributions, the galaxy contribution and the cluster contribution. And we could find that at the given redshift, the sum of these two terms differ less than 0.03% with respect to the previous model of a single isothermal sphere that represents only the galaxy. So from this analysis, we could also understand the correlation found between the shear and the Einstein angle for the galaxy. In fact, we have seen that strong lensing can give us a very reliable measurement of the mass inside the Einstein circle. And this mass can be given by two contributions, one for the cluster and one for the galaxy. If we raise the cluster contribution, that means raising the external shear for this system, we have to lower the galaxy contribution, that means to lower the Einstein angle for the galaxy. And this explains the anticorrelation we found, and this also is valid vice versa. So as a final check of our model, we measured the projected mass inside a radius of 488 kiloparsec, which is the distance between the closest mass peak of the cluster and the center of the galaxy. And what we found is that also this value depends on the source redshift, and the value we found is in agreement with what the X-ray and the weak lensing analysis found. That means a value of about 3 by 10 to the power of 14 solar masses. So after the extended image reconstruction of the system, we would like to concentrate on a larger scale. In fact, we have a luminosity map for the whole cluster. We have an X-ray mass map that shows the X-ray emission for the cluster, and we have a weak lensing mass map for the cluster, but we still don't have a strong lensing mass map of the system. And so we are now measuring several spectroscopic redshift for different multi-images system, and we would like to build a detailed strong lensing model for the whole cluster in order to compare the mass measurement with the other mass diagnostics and possibly to find, to measure the cosmological parameters. That's all. What we are trying to do now is this kind of extended reconstruction, but is parametric reconstruction. Mm-hmm. We use normal distribution, two-dimensional normal distribution for each component, and this normal distribution can be elliptical, and we use parametric model for the lens. That means, again, a single isothermal sphere with extended shear. And what we did was to compare the extended images with the images observed using just the surface brightness conservation. So we started from a model, we minimized the chi-square again as a difference between the image reconstructed. This is what we're working at, but we didn't try non-parametric reconstruction for the potential nor for the source.
The plot which shows the cluster and the galaxy contribution. Mm-hmm. In this case, if one were able to single out the contribution coming from the clusters with confidence, then one can actually say about the phase-based density of dark material in the cluster, hence, you know, say something whether the nature of the dark matter is cold dark matter or not. But unfortunately, in this case, I guess if you show the diagram again, the matter is still dominated. The deconvolution is still dominated how you model by the galaxy. So the galaxy is still dominating over the cluster's mass at the particle 10 kiloparsec. If you had another lens system where the arcs are actually a few times bigger, let's say 20 kiloparsec or 50 kiloparsec, then you will be able to single out the cluster mass with confidence. Then you can do the exercise that I was saying to say about the density of the dark matter in clusters at these very, very small radii, which you normally don't have to.
But it's a chicken and egg problem, right?
Yes.
Unless you're far enough away, yeah, you can't implicate an individual galaxy as producing the lensing. If it's close enough to the center, then the cluster is doing the job for you.
There are systems, there are a few systems that remember the diagram I showed about the strong lensing. There are a few systems where the images so separate out about 5 or 10 arc seconds, so the galaxy alone cannot, in whatever way, to create those such a wide pair. Hence, you must invoke additional material coming from a more extended distribution. And you are, because of the high density in such a situation, you can actually say, you know, for example, I was playing devil's advocate in neutrinos, but the density is so high because the neutrinos are excluded. That's the game. If you can say this, you start to know set limits on the dark matter. If you have those for systems where the cluster mass dominates over the galaxy.
What do you need the galaxy in the first place?
I think the galaxy mass contributed in producing the images. As long as you can, the cluster mass is, say, a few times bigger than the galaxy mass.
Well, the galaxy will just change the curvature of the image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought you showed the convergence between these different models is so small that they were just acting exactly the same way, right? One way that convergence is associated with mass, the other one is small. How can you use that? How can you distinguish between those models?
Which models?
Let's say these models and neutrinos.
Neutrino doesn't have to be alternative. I mean, just saying you can work in the GR language as well. And you can, it's the uncertainty. The modification only causes ambiguity in interpretation as extra complications. But the general direction is still right. You want to look for the densest system, the densest cluster to set limits on. It just so happens in bullet clusters, the density is still relatively low. You still suffer from ambiguity because of neutrino could cause this. It doesn't say it has to be neutrino. It makes it uncertain. But once you're above that density, neutrinos will become irrelevant. Like in galaxies, neutrinos are irrelevant. Hence, you can say this with confidence. You need non-baryonic matter in the wormhole, some form. That's the direction. Also, you can.
So I actually had a question about the southern thumb. So how far away? Can you just show me the picture? And I'm just curious why, I mean, sure, this is a very massive galaxy that's further out, but there are a lot of other bright galaxies in between that you do need to take into account.
Here? Yeah.
That's the southern clump. And the northern clump is in the corner of the red box, right?
Yeah, the northern clump is here.
Yeah.
And there's another clump of galaxies here.
Right.
And then here, and here, and here. So this is, in fact, the...
I'm just a little kind of stunned at your chi-square, is all I can say, because if you go back to the image...
I'd like to show you this picture.
It's really rather good.
This is the weak lensing mass map. This is the northern clump with some galaxies here, and this is the southern clump. Two more blobs of mass.
And the multiple lens thing is the thing that's outside.
It's more or less here.
Right, so that's not even kind of...
So...
It's not picked up.
Yeah,
There are no contours, I mean, there are really no contours.
No.
Right?
What this system feels is the influence of this mass peak.
Right, no, what I'm saying, here, I'm going to go back to the optical image.
Okay.
Like
this.
Do I let everyone go soon?
It doesn't work. Wow.
You can use them all.
Okay, maybe I can.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so could you just show me, through your system is there, right?
Yeah.
This is your thumb.
Yeah.
What I'm surprised is the chi-square is that you get, because they're not putting clumps here.
Yeah.
At all, right? You're calling that all the cluster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm just saying that there's a singular atmosphere that shows the average mass distribution from here. And
I'm
kind of
surprised with the chi-square. Because...
But it's
very, very small effect of those clumps at that distance.
It shouldn't be that small, like, in the magnitude of the external shear.
But that's like 20 times the effective radii or more of those galaxies. Or the Einstein radii of those galaxies.
So your convergence and shear are 10%?
Probably if you try to model the full brightness distribution of the images, the time spread would go up, because then some of these issues would come up. If you just take the positions of the blocks, maybe with some error bars, it's not all the information.
Yeah, but the information
because, you know,
in these images
quite is quite similar, but in 2218, you have a main clump that has all the stuff going on. You have a secondary clump that has its own multiple set. To get that multiple set right, it's not enough to model the big guys and isothermal. You actually need to put other clumps in by hand for other bright galaxies.
Yeah.
Granted that the distance is not this large, but it's comparable.
Yeah, for example, we are now trying to reconstruct the strong lensing of all the galaxy and all the cluster. And here there's, it's not easy to see it, but there's a triple system of images, and it's like duck, and here it's duck. And you have to consider this clamp here, but also clamps here, in order to find this image configuration. Otherwise, you should find something like this. And not curved in this different way. And the same is here, here, and here. It's probably triple Gynax, but you need to consider also the mass here to reconstruct.
Yeah, no, it's just that the chi-square looks very good.
Stop, so let's thank you. Thank you again.